Good evening. And we'll be looking past Romans 15. It took us a while to get through it, but we're up to Romans 16. And it starts off mentioning Phoebe. We'll call her Phoebe. And there are some things said about Phoebe. I'll be staying, though, with what the Bible says. There's stuff in tradition, there's stuff in postscripts, and things like that. If you look in the postscripts, though, they talk about all kinds of things. I mean, they make assumptions or unfounded, unscriptural, maybe that's not the term, non-scriptural, not mentioned in scriptural, about statements about bishops ruling churches. However, when I read the scriptures, the bishops were overseers that God had raised up from the body of Christ during a dispensation of the gospel to oversee and take care of the church of God at Jerusalem, those destitute believers there that had sold everything to bring in the kingdom out of heaven. But then the leadership and the majority of Israel would not accept the kingdom and not believe their Messiah. And that left Israel and Israel's kingdom believers destitute. Mainly the kingdom believers. So God raised up trustworthy overseers, called bishops, another translation of the word, and elders, equated with the bishops in Titus 1, 5, and 7, raised them up from the body of Christ to oversee the collection and distribution of support for those marooned Jewish little flock believers. That's what I read in my Bible. Postscripts, they've been written, they were probably at least 200 years after the Acts period. And no matter what they were written, they're not scripture, no matter what they say. You know, the things that may match scripture, fine, they're not scripture. The things that don't match scripture, take heart, they're not scripture. Believe the Bible. The Bible is the scripture of God. So the scripture says this, Romans 1, or 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea is a town about 8 or 10 miles from Corinth in Achaia, or now Greece, near Athens. And from the way it looks on the map, I would guess it's about 50 miles from Athens. But it's 8 or 10 miles from Corinth, where Paul wrote Romans. And there was apparently some communication, and this sister from the church in Cenchrea brought Paul's epistle to Rome. Carried it. Well, I'm going to stop there about Phoebe, because we don't know what happened. You know, the rest is from uninspired postscripts, and we have to be aware and be wary of letting opinions enter in. What the Bible says is that she was a sister. Plus, Paul does go on to say that you receive her in the Lord, this is verse 2, as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. A succorer is an assistant or an helper. And the way I understand the word succorer from the text is that it's one that helps out, one that helps and assists in the duties of others. Well, like a secretary is thought of doing. Actually, during that dispensation of the gospel of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, there's a list posted. It contains a gift of that type, and it's called helps. Let me read the verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. God has an order to things here. Thirdly, teachers. And after that, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Helps is a small word. Kind of gets lost in all of those, but notice it's ahead of tongues by then. Not that there are some people that would be shocked at that, I think. But regardless, it's talking about Phoebe. She helped others, and Paul is saying in Romans 16:2 that you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and a sister or helper. And of myself also. Wouldn't you love to have lived back then and have been recommended by Apostle Paul and have him say about you, so-and-so is a great help to me. Receive him or her. Wow. What a privilege, you know, and an honor. She was a helper of many. And of Paul also. And that takes a long time to become known for helping many people. Especially if you're not broadcasting yourself and taking the credit. So, we need to get started and keep going. And let's go on with verse 3 here. Much of this chapter is taken up with greetings and summaries and a few warnings. And we'll get to those, but largely it's greetings, and here's verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, Priscilla and Aquila show up in Acts 18, and it says a little about them and this, they're having to leave Rome and stuff, and other greetings places we hear of them, like in 1 Corinthians 16. And a few other places. Aquila and Paul stayed together in Corinth since they both were tent makers. Aquila had one of Paul's meetings in his house, a Pauline Grace church in his house. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Aquila also sailed with Paul from Corinth to Ephesus just before Christ appeared to Paul in the vision in the temple at Jerusalem. Aquila was helpful in that early era of the body of Christ, called a dispensation of the gospel, when they were dispensing the gospel of Christ to bring Israel's remnant according to the election of grace into the body of Christ. When Paul was ministering to the Jew first and also to the Greek, that was at a time, I think we said, it was just before the temple vision that he had, sending him to all, or telling him he would soon be sent to all men. And apparently telling him then, at that time, not to water baptize, but to preach the gospel. Let's read what Paul said about Priscilla and Aquila in verse 4. This is Romans 16, verse 4. Who have, for my life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Here Paul gives the rarely used name, the churches of the Gentiles, to the churches that he had established with the gospel of Christ. In so doing, Paul definitely distinguishes between the churches of the Gentiles and the churches of Judea. In Galatians 1:22, that would be. If you're looking for scriptural proof that there was, at that time, more than one group of churches, then there's some of the proof right there. Other places too, but that should be enough. Look at Romans 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. So apparently Epaphroditus, I better spell that, Epaphroditus. He was either the first believer after when Paul went across from Turkey in Asia Minor, across the after the Macedonian invasion, when he went to Greece and Europe and the West. That was in Acts 16, 9 to 12. Either that was the case that they were, he was the first, or Epaphroditus was in that first group of believers. Since first fruits is plural, it could refer to the group of believers in Greece. But all we know for sure is what it says. And it says, verse 6, he goes on, Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. So there must have been a lot of Marys around. I guess it was a popular name. I don't think there's any hint that she would be any particular Mary that we might be thinking of, or that other groups today may routinely elevate. So we'll go on to verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles and who were in Christ before me. Now that's another verse that's often misused. Those who do not believe try to throw that at us, saying the body of Christ existed before Paul. Well, it doesn't say that, does it? Look for the word body in that verse. It's not there, is it? So going on, Romans 16:7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. Well, Webster says a kinsman is a man of the same race or family or relative. Kin is a group of persons of the same stock, race, or family. So as a kinsman, Paul was a fellow Jew with Andronicus and Junia. Verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. So as a fellow prisoner, Paul had... he'd either been in prison together at some time with them, or Paul is merely saying that they each had been experienced the horrors of Roman prison at various times. So let's go on. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Well, I haven't found definite which apostles it's talking about, definite word on that, but it says of note among the apostles, speaking of Andronicus and Junia, and they were noteworthy no matter which group of apostles. Paul, he may mean the body of Christ's apostles, or he may mean Israel's apostles. You know, there was Paul and Barnabas, at least, named as apostles, and Timothy and Silas. But we'll see in a few minutes that Paul... does salute people that are not necessarily in the body of Christ. Not rejectors, but either body of Christ people or Jews, with a reason. Those that had helped him. And Paul could have been referring to the 12, as Israel's apostles, let's go on. From the scripture, it's pretty evident that the early days of the body of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, there was much cooperation between the body of Christ, those middle of Acts Pauline grace churches, and the little flock of Israel, the Israel of God. Those body of Christ churches are called churches of Galatia, churches of Christ, churches of Asia, churches of Macedonia, the churches of the Gentiles, and churches of the saints. All those names are used of the body of Christ churches that Paul established. There was cooperation between them and that Matthew 16 Jerusalem church, the churches of Judea, the little flock, church of God. Church of God, Israel of God. There was cooperation, and you can see it in Scripture in various places where they met together in the same building. They were temporarily meeting together. In Romans 1:7, who did Paul address? To all that be in Rome. And then in Romans 4:1, he talked to the Jews. Other places, he talked to Gentiles that called themselves Jews, Romans 2:17. But let's look at the cooperation in Colossians, a parallel symbol, not symbol, indication, I guess we could say, Colossians 4:10, verses 10 and 11. Now, this was after he was sent to all men, but it's still shows the cooperation between Israel and the body of Christ, especially after they became aware that the body of Christ had the present truth for that time after Paul was sent to all people. Colossians 4:10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. So that's one person, Aristarchus. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. Well, that's a second person. Two people, Aristarchus and Marcus. Talking about Marcus, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And thirdly, he mentions in verse 11, Colossians 4:11, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Paul mentioned many fellow workers. He didn't say that they are the only fellow workers. As he mentioned, he's talking about those fellow workers who are of the circumcision. So there was cooperation between the two different groups of churches. At that time, there was no test such as, do you believe in Jesus? Well, if yes, in which way do you believe him? Are you in my group or are you in their group? They weren't exclusive in that sense. They were all of the faith of whom Jesus was the Savior. And we often talk about the rightly dividing between the two groups, those that were God's earthly people, Israel, and then after Paul, those that were God's heavenly people in the body of Christ. But they both had the same Jesus as Savior, both groups. And they realized, in those groups, they realized the difference. They knew what gospel they had believed to enter their group. One group, Israel, believed that Christ was coming back. as king to rule over them at some point. And they believe the covenants and commandments, and they believe he is the Messiah risen from the dead. That's Israel. Well, the other group, the body of Christ, believed that Christ had died on the cross for their sins, for each of their sins, to forgive them of their sins. And he was raised again, and that by believing that, they are saved from God's wrath. They believed two different things from two different gospel promises in two different gospels. They both had the same Lord, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, but they were called by different gospels. Well, let's go on in Romans 16, where we were. Greet Amplius, this is verse 8. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. It's neat how God blesses these people. I would have been grateful to be called my beloved by Paul, or a helper in Christ, or a fellow worker, or even noteworthy. Any of these salutations by Paul, I would love to have been there and to have been noted by the Apostle Paul, or even be a helper of a rightly dividing Bible teacher today. Going on, verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Verse 10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them that them which are of Aristobulus' household. You can take all these as exhortations to yourself. To be approved, to be a helper in Christ, to be beloved, to be lovable. Now, we see, going on to verse 11, salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Romans 16:13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. His mother and mine. I don't see any indication that Paul had a physical brother named Rufus, or even a half-brother named Rufus. And I think he's saying that she is like a mother to him, like we call fellow believers brother. Well, she mothered him, nurtured him. I don't know if it was in Old Testament ways or in necessities of life or what. She was apparently about a generation older and coached Paul, encouraged him in things that she could, in the same way that we today say that someone is a mentor. It's good if, you know, we mentor people in the Lord, but there are other ways to be helpful too that lighten other people's loads. But I think that's why he put that in there. I don't think there's any documentation that Rufus's mother was Paul's literal physical mother. Going on to verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermes, Hermes or Hermes, both in there, and the brethren which are with them. So there's five brethren and the brethren that are mentioned that are with them. So there must have been quite a group there, at least seven or more there, probably in the home of one of them. Verse 15, salute Philologus, I guess that's it, and Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints which are with them, grouped together with each other. fellowship. But that's another group. There are lots of people in those groups that Paul is saluting. Salute one another with an holy kiss. They're basically, the groups are made up of people that heard Paul. They had been Jews. By this time, they were mostly Jews or Greeks from the synagogues. He hadn't been actually sent out yet to all people. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to those, I don't want to get into that right now. We've been through that. Well, let's just go on. But there are lots of people. Those groups are people that heard Paul preach who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead. That merely tells who he is. It doesn't say it saves you or anything like that. But then, when they did believe that, they were not allowed in the synagogues. They would meet in Paul's meetings with Paul or with some of his helpers, fellow ministers in the gospel of Christ. And they would get to hear the gospel of Christ and the gospel of salvation, how to be saved by believing that Christ died for all your sins and was buried and rose again. That's who they were. They believed who Jesus was and that he saved them. And they met together to study the word and finish the rest of God's will, that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. They were coming to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. And that must have been the custom at that time. I don't know that we need to break our custom now to do that. I think the custom now is a firm handshake, a warm, friendly handshake, a hug. Suit yourself, though. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. And there's another name for those body of Christ expressions or gatherings that had formed by those who believed the gospel of Christ that Paul was preaching at that time, up till that time, that they would be saved if they believed that Christ died for their sins, was raised the third day for their justification. And that's all I've got for us tonight. I hope tomorrow, the next lesson, I hope to tie it all together and finish the book of Romans, the epistle to all that be in Rome. Comments or questions are up. Any comments or questions there?